It is not that, but it has just a tiny bit to do with that. I just couldn't wait to share because yesterday, this morning at 2:30 in the morning, God performed a miracle. And it was something that I've never felt before. God has spoken to me through dreams, and I've known it's God, but when you share, people could say, oh, that was a coincidence. Not this morning. And it started 6 years ago. So the really neat thing is that the people in our small group that helped me 6 years ago, they're all here, including Walter and Laura, who live in Michigan now, and Hillary, who is in Buffalo. And about 6 years ago, my body just went out of whack. And I almost died multiple times because my insulin pump was not working the right way, and I didn't know how to fix it. It was not for lack of effort. I checked my blood sugar 30 times a day. And they were there for me and prayed for me. And God got me through it. I look back now, and I honestly don't know how I survived. My uncle, Dave, back there, came to my house a couple times to get me in the ambulance, or sent men. At least, I can't really remember. It's kind of foggy. But anyway, yesterday, after Laura's mom's funeral, we came back, and we were sitting at the dinner tables, and two different times, I don't know why, I didn't know why then it came up, but my diabetes came up, and that time of my life came up. And I remember thinking after both times, oh, Russ and Marissa, you too, sorry. After both times, I remember thinking, why did I just say that? Why did I even bring that up? That was like in the past, it's done with. You know, I kind of felt like they maybe thought I was trying to get attention, even though they didn't appear that way. But I share all this because it does have a point in a minute. But I didn't know why I brought it up. I went home. And I had a dinner that night with some friends that I went to India with. And then some friends, there were Chris, myself, Chuck and Angela, their children who I went to India with. My friends Karina and Mitch Burgess, who went to Belize. So Chris went to Jamaica. I was in India with Angela and Chuck. And my friends Karina and Mitch were in Belize, all for Christmas at the same time, all doing mission work. And we were sharing our experiences. I didn't get home until 1 o'clock in the morning. I have a sensor now that beams my blood sugars every 5 minutes. Some of this may sound like gibberish to you if you're not diabetic or a nurse or doctor, so try to say it in terms that make sense. But it beams every 5 minutes my blood sugar. It gives me an example. It warns me if it's going high or low. Right before I went to bed, it said there was a low predicted. Well, I had just eaten a ton the whole day. The last thing I wanted to do was drink more orange juice or eat glucose tablets. So I've learned a trick where if a low is predicted, I still have some time. I can put no insulin in my pump for an hour or so, and my blood sugar will come back up without having to eat anything. And I've done that before, and it's worked fine. So I did that. I put 1 hour, no insulin, and I went to bed at 1:30. And at 2:30 in the morning, 1 hour has gone by, my insulin pump's about to turn back on again. I'm having this dream, and God has spoken to me through dreams before, but not in this way. Real quick, when I was in India, Dorothy and Padma, this is how it relates to India, Dorothy and Padma have had many miracles happen. Their faith is astounding, and God truly uses them. And when Angela was telling me, she was sharing with me something, and I said, well, how did Dorothy know to do that? And she said God just pushed her. God just showed her. Like there was no doubt. And I remembered thinking at that very moment, why doesn't God ever do that with me? You know, why can't it be so clear to me that that's truly God just shoving me out and I know that that's who it is? And that was the end of that thought. I kind of forgot about it. Then last night at dinner, Angela said, we were supposed to go last June, but somebody came in my driveway and said, you're not going because somebody is supposed to be there that is not there. And she pointed at me and said, that was you. You needed to be there this December. And I know that. In my mind, I thought, well, I know that that's true, but I didn't know why, except for maybe promoting with the photography their ministry, because not very many people support it. And so anyway, fast forward to the dream. I'm in my bedroom. The dream is foggy. I wish I had all the details because it sure did make sense when it was all happening. But in my dream, it was like I was having this conversation with Chuck and this random man about why I was in India. And in my dream, it was so I could save somebody. Like somebody had a blood clot and I was, because I was there, they lived. And I thought, well, that's weird because that didn't happen. I remember thinking that in my dream. Nobody had a blood clot while I was there. I didn't save anybody. And all of a sudden, in my dream, I see out of the corner of my eye this phone flash. It was a very distinct flash. And I thought, is God telling me to get up and call somebody? And I thought, no, that's not right, you know. So I just kind of went back to bed, and I saw that phone flash again. And my body automatically got out of my bed, walked downstairs to my computer, and my heart started racing until I got out of bed, a different kind of race. It raced. When I got out of my bed, it stopped. I walked to my computer. I sat down, and I thought, I need to message Padma and say, somebody's in trouble, you need to help them. I thought somebody was dying, and I was had to give them a wake-up call or something. And I put my hands on the keyboard, and my heart started racing again. I thought, okay, I'm not supposed to do that. I took them off, and it stopped. I put my hand on the phone, and my heart started racing again. I was trying to figure out what number to dial, because I didn't even know who I was supposed to call or what I was supposed to do. And my heart started racing again. And I thought, well, the computer is the way of communication. The phone's the way of communication. How else am I going to save somebody, you know, if I can't use either of those? And God was like, put your hand on your pump. And I took out my pump. And my sensor had been trying to warn me to wake up. But I was ignoring it. It was, my blood sugar was 54. And which is, I mean, for a diabetic, though, for me, I can handle that. I can appear normal at that blood sugar, depending on the time it happens. But I was so worried about saving somebody, I ignored it. And I thought, God, what do you want me to do? I'm supposed to be saving somebody, but every time I try to, you make my heart race. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he's like, press the arrow button on your pump. So I pressed back to see how much active insulin I still had in my body. And I still had 2 units of active insulin, which could be devastating if I did not wake up and my blood sugar was already at 54. It could have been like that year that I don't want to ever relive. And he would not let my heart stop racing until I stood up and went to the refrigerator and got orange juice. And then it stopped. And then I just burst into tears because I thought he made me go to India to show me how much he loved me. And I thought, how selfish for me to not believe him. That he had to, I felt like the wet and dry. I told Chuck this morning because I called him and I said, I kind of, I'm excited. Part of me is like, wow, God, I've never experienced that. There's no way that could be a coincidence. And he was seriously telling me what to do by the rhythm of my heartbeat. And so I was excited. And then I was confused. Why did you speak to me that way and not anybody else? And then I felt like I told Chuck the wet and dry wool guy, like I needed the fleece, the one with the fleece, and if it's wet, then I know, and if it's dry, then I know. And so anyway, I just was overwhelmed by his presence, and I had to share because it was so real, and I don't know what would have happened if he did not wake me up, because I had nobody there to wake me up. So thank you for letting me take some of your time.
Hold on a second. Ange. Would members of Ange's small group, past and present, if you would just stand up real quick. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for our sister, and we thank you that you love her more than we do. And we thank you for your hand that watches over and protects and guides us. I thank you for the time that you woke my wife up miraculously to save our son Joshua, who was strangling to death with no air. And I thank you for the other miracles, Lord, that I am unaware of how you reach out and touch us just to let us know that you love us and that you care. I thank you for our small group, and I thank you for this church. And I pray, Lord God, that we would never forget that we worship you, the living God, not a God of stone or of wood or of metal, but you, the God who lives, who breathes, who acts, and who acts on our behalf. I pray, Lord God, that Ange's sharing of this would touch lives and hearts, and that whoever is here this morning that needed to hear that, yes, God really does love you, that they would go away refreshed and renewed. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.